This week's parsha is Parshas Vayechi. The pasuk starts Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim. Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt 17 shana, 17 years. Vayehi Yemei Yaakov Shnei Chayov, and it was the days of Yaakov, the years of his life, Sheva Shonim Varboim Umaaz Shana, 147 years. First we'll start with the word Vayechi. Numerical value for the word Vayechi that he lived is 34. The Vav is 6, the Yud is 10, that's 16. The Ches is 8, that makes it 24. And the Yud afterwards makes it 34. So they want to say Vayechi Yaakov, that the life of Yaakov was 34 years. 17 years before Yosef was sold. As the Pasuk in the beginning of Vayeshev, chapter 37, Pasuk number 2 says, Ele told us Yaakov, this is what happened to Yaakov, Yosef ben Shva Esre Shana. Yosef is 17 years old, and that is the age that he was sold. And 17 years since Yaakov met Yosef again when he came down to Egypt, as the Pasuk says clearly here, that comes out to a total of 34 years. And as we mentioned the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, Ele told us Yaakov Yosef, that the main purpose for Yaakov is Yosef. Comes out that out of his 147 years, he lived with Yosef 34 years. And that is what is alluded by the word Vayechi Yaakov, which Yaakov lived, numerical value 34 years. The question the Meforshim ask is, why do you have to write down that Yaakov Avinu lived in Egypt 17 years? And the total of Yaakov's life was 147 years. On Parshas Vayigar, chapter 47, Pasuk number 8, there, when Yaakov comes to Egypt, it's written that Paroi asked him, how old are you? And Yaakov answers, Yemei Shnei Megurai Shloishim Ma'as Shana, that I am 130 years old. We see clearly from that Pasuk that when Yaakov came down to Egypt, he was 130 years old. Why does the Torah have to tell me that Yaakov lived in Egypt 17 years? The Torah could have just told me that Yaakov lived to the age of 147, and I am smart enough to look up to see how old Yaakov was when he came down to Egypt and how old he was when he passed away. Automatically, I will know that he lived in Egypt 17 years. So why is it so important to let me know that Yaakov Avinu lived 17 years? The Balaturim and Dazakerim Balatoisvas explain that the fact that Yaakov Avinu lived 17 years comes to show you that everything that Hashem does is midah keneged midah, a measure for measure, which means that whatever you do for somebody else, Hashem makes it that is done for you. Because since I just mentioned before that Yosef was sold in the age of 17, Yaakov supported Yosef for 17 years of his life, midah keneged midah, measure for measure, Hashem made Yaakov be supported for 17 years of his life. But we will try to give different interpretations why specifically the Torah writes me down that Yaakov lived in Egypt for 17 years. What is the Torah trying to teach me with that message? We'll first go to the first Rashi on this week's Parsha. Rashi asks a question. Lama Parsha Zustuma? Why is this Parsha closed up? In other words, the text of the Torah usually is divided in passages that look like paragraphs. And each paragraph normally is separated by the other paragraph by a space of at least 9 letters. And here, in Parshas Vayechi, the word Vayechi is not separated from the previous Parsha, only the space of 1 letter. Rashi asks a question, if Vayechi is a separate paragraph, a separate Parsha, a separate portion, how come this Parsha is not separated with the 9 letter space? Before we even answer what Rashi brings as the answer, we have to understand the question of Rashi. The Gurari asks a question of Rashi, how does Rashi know that this is a separate parsha. Maybe this is connected to the previous parsha. The previous parsha mentions that the Jewish people came down to Egypt and they progressed and they became fruitful and multiplied. And could be that this is connecting to Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim. Yaakov lived in Egypt 17 years. Who tells you that this is a separate parsha? The Maharal in Guraria and the Mizrahi both give the same answer, and they say that we have a tradition where the parshas become from Ezra HaSofer, that Ezra HaSofer told us which portion, where the portion begins and where the portion ends. And also Ezra HaSofer, when he wrote us the Sefer Torah, gave us a tradition how to write a Sefer Torah, didn't put the 9-letter space as a break between these two portions. Obviously, Ezra HaSofer was told by Hashem not to put the break. Now we have to understand why was he told by Hashem not to put the break. Basically, the answer is, according to the Maharal and the Mizrahi, that it is a Mesorah that we have, that this is a separate Parsha, and we also have a Mesorah that you are not required to put the 9 spaces between it. Then the question is, how come not? Sefer Bechor Shorem Psochim Davov Omed Beis Divra Maschel Valoi writes down that in the end of Parshas Vayigash, which is the last pasuk preceding this pasuk from Parshas Vayechi, there it's mentioned that Vayeshev Israel Be'eretz Mitzrayim, that the Jewish people resided in the land of Mitzrayim Be'eretz Goshen, in the land of Goshen, Vayeachzu Bo, and they acquired property or they got hold of it, Vayifru, they were fruitful, Vayirbu Me'od, and they multiplied greatly. So it's mashma, the multiplication greatly happened even before this week's Parsha, even before Parsha's Vayechi, which says Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shvayes Reshana. So comes out according to this that the multiplication of the Jews happened before Yaakov died, because only in Parsha's Vayechi is where Yaakov dies. Yet the Medrash Rabbe on Shmos Rabbe Aleph Yud Aleph that goes on Pasuk, which is Shmos chapter 1, Pasuk number 12, there it says, Vekasha Yanu Oisoi, Kein Yirba, Vechein Yifroitz, as the Egyptians would afflict the Jewish people, so they would multiply and so they would spread out, meaning proportionate to the afflictions that they got from the Egyptians, so they would multiply and so they would spread out. The Medrash there says that only after they were afflicted, that's when they were multiplied, that as a direct consequence that they were afflicted, so they would multiply. And the Medrash in Bereshis Rabbe, Tzadik Vav 96, Simon Aleph, brings down that the Shibut, that the enslavement in Egypt only started after the death of Yaakov. Then we have technical problem, since we know the multiplication of the Jews only happens because of the afflictions. And yet we know that this happened only after the death of Yaakov, and yet in Parshas Vayigash is written they multiplied before Yaakov is dead. Therefore, we have no choice in order to reconcile both statements. We must say the famous answer, a mugdam umeuchar batoira. There is no earlier and later in the Torah, meaning that the Torah did not follow a strict chronological order when it was setting up its chapters. Certain times, certain chapters are written before other chapters. Certain events are recorded after events that happened previously. There is no chronological order in the Torah. In other words, the last pasuk on Vayigash that says the Jewish people multiplied really didn't happen at this point. Happened after Yaakov Avinu died. But the Torah recorded it because the Torah is not bound by chronological order. But we have a technical problem, because Rav Papa says on Psachim Davav Omed Beis that whenever we say Ein Mugdam Umeuchar Batoira, that there is no chronological timeline in the Torah, that only applies when we're talking about two separate portions, that one portion could be given in one time and the other portion, even though it's written later, could be given in an earlier time. But if it's one portion itself, Rav Papa says that we have to have a chronological order. Things written in one portion has to be chronological. Why? Because if I say that even in one portion doesn't have to be a chronology and things could be written out of order, we know the famous Beraisa that we say every day before Kaddish in Shachris. Rabbi Shmuel says, B'shoy Shasra Midos, Atorah Nidrashes, through 13 rules, the Torah elucidated. And one of those rules is Klal Uprat, when I have a generalization and then I have a specification. And the perfect example for that is on Pasuk in Vayikra, chapter 1, Pasuk number 2, there it says that Adam ki akriv mikem es krabono l'Hashem, a person who will bring a sacrifice to Hashem, mina behema, from the animals, and then it says mina bakor mina tzoin, from the cattle or from the sheep. When it tells you mina behema, from the animals, it's a generalization because it includes all the animals. And when the Torah is telling you later mina bakor mina tzoin, from the cattle or for the sheep, the Torah is specifying which species I want you to bring the sacrifices from. You can bring from other species, you can bring from horses, for example. So we see that we follow the rule Klal Uprat, and the opposite is true. If the Torah tells you first the specification and then generalization, then we learn it through a different rule. So Rav Papa says that if I say that there is no chronological order in one parsha, then how do you know it's really a generalization and then a specification? Maybe it is the opposite. Maybe it was a specification and then a generalization. It's not written that way in the Torah, because we are not bound by chronological order in the Torah, and then we wouldn't be able to learn any of the ways that Rabbi Shmuel learns, because we would never be sure which one came first, if the specification came first or the generalization came first. And since Rabbi Shmuel clearly says that we do learn certain rules from Klal Uprat, because it's written a generalization and then a specification, or the opposite, that it's written a specification and then a generalization, we learn certain rules, it must mean that we are definitely bound by chronological order when we're talking within one portion. When we're talking about different portions in the Torah, then you could give me the rule that ein mukdam u'me'uchar ba'Torah, that there is no chronological order in the Torah. But when we are talking within one chapter itself, there we must say that there is chronological order, because otherwise the whole learning of Rabbi Shmuel wouldn't fit, because we would never be sure what came first. And since we learn rules from the way the Torah writes certain things, must be that in one portion itself, one parsha, one chapter, we believe that there is a chronology on the words written in one portion itself. Sefer Bechor Shor asks a question now, if that is true, that in one portion we cannot say ein mukdam u'me'uchar ba'Torah, that there is no chronological order, then automatically we must say that the end of Vayigash and the beginning of Vayechi is two separate portions. Because in the end of Vayigash we see that the Jewish people multiply, and right afterwards in Vayechi we're talking about Yaakov Avinu's death. And as we mentioned, the multiplication of the Jews happened only after Yaakov's death, not before Yaakov's death. The only answer that we gave is that we say that there is no chronological order to the Torah. But if we say that now that's one portion, Rav Papa says clearly that in one portion it must be a chronological order. Therefore, if we want to stick to the answer that this is chronologically out of order, we must say that they are in two separate portions. The last pasuk of Vayigash is one portion, and the first pasuk of Vayechi is a separate portion. Now, if they are in two portions and Vayechi is a separate portion, now we ask a question that Rashi asks, how come there is no nine-letter space between them if it's a separate portion, like we mentioned, because it cannot be one portion, because they are not chronologically compatible. The last pasuk of Vayigash talks about the multiplication of the Jews, and the first pasuk of Vayechi talks about Yaakov about to die, and the multiplication only happened after Yaakov died. You must say that right there, it's two separate, these two psukim belongs to two parshas. The multiplication belongs to Parshas Vayigash, as we have it in our Chumash, and the first Pasuk of Vayechi, where it talks about Yaakovinu's death, belongs to the next Parsha, which is Vayechi. If that is so, now the question of Rashi is very good. How come we don't have the nine-letter space between them? Since they are two portions, you should put a nine-letter space. And according to this, we don't have to come and say that we have a Mesorah from Ezra that Vayechi starts with a new portion. We could deduce it ourselves based on what's written in the Parshas. Rashi gives two answers. The first answer of Rashi is Lefisha Kivin Shniftar Yaakov Avinu, that as soon as Yaakov, our forefather, passed away, Nistemu Eineihem VeLibon Shel Yisrael, the hearts and eyes of the Jewish people were closed, Mitzoras Hashibut, because of the suffering of enslavement, Sheishchilu LeShabdom, that the Egyptians began to enslave the Jewish people, therefore there is no space between them. In other words, Rashi on Vayikra, chapter 1, pasuk number 1, explains that the break between Parshias helped from Moshe Rabbeinu to understand better what he was taught. In other words, Hashem taught him all the halachas, all the things. Moshe Rabbeinu had to internalize, he had to review it, he had to contemplate and analyze it, and for that he required to have a certain amount of time, and that are the breaks between parshas. In other words, breaks between parshas symbolize contemplation, understanding, and acceptance of what had previously happened. Like you would take a breather from what happened before. But here, since right after the death of Yaakov we became enslaved, there was no time for contemplation. Therefore, to symbolize that right after the death of Yaakov, we were very quickly enslaved, that we did not have time to contemplate, we did not have time to analyze, we did not have time to even take a breather. Right afterwards, we were enslaved. And because our enslavements, our eyes and our hearts were closed off, in other words, we lost hope. To symbolize that, the Torah is making that this parsha should be closed off, as was the hearts and the eyes and the hopes of the Jewish people right after Yaakov's death. On this Rashi, there is a couple questions. First, we'll state the question of the Mizrahi, the Guraria, and the Sif Chachamim, that Rashi seems to be contradicting itself. Rashi here implies that as soon as Yaakov Avinu died, the enslavement started. And yet, Rashi on Shmos, chapter 6, pasuk number 16, the pasuk there describes the years of the life of Levi, how long Levi lived. Rashi asks a question, Lamon nimnu shnoisov shalevi, why do you require to write the years that Levi lived? Rashi answers, to let you know exactly how long the enslavement really took. Because while there was one of the tribes, there was no enslavement, because it's written the pasuk on Shmos Aleph, pasuk number 6, Vayamos Yosef v'kolechav, Yosef and his brothers died, and afterwards on pasuk number 8 says v'chakach v'yokom elechadosh, there was a king that didn't know Yosef and decided to enslave the Jewish people. According to this Rashi, comes out that only after all the brothers died, that's when the enslavement really started. The question now is, if that is true, then how come Rashi says here that as soon as Yaakov died, the enslavement started? We know the enslavement only started after the brothers died. The Gurari, the Sif Chachamim, the Mizrahi answered that there were two stages of enslavement. True enslavement, what we would call afflictions, and true enslavement only happened after the last of the brothers passed away. Like Rashi write down by the years of Levi, that while Levi, which he was the last of the brothers, was alive, there was no literal enslavement. But loss of liberty, that already happened from the time that Yaakov Avinu died. After Yaakov Avinu died, we were already required to go work, even though we were asked in a nice way, but we could not deny it, and we didn't have free rein to do whatever we wanted. As a matter of fact, even Yosef, when he asks to bury his father, Paroi tells him, yes, you could go, but your children and your sheep have to stay behind because Paroi wanted to make sure that they will come back. As it's written on chapter 50, Pasuk number 8. You see clearly from there that even Yosef, which was a viceroy, almost a king in Egypt, still already didn't enjoy anymore his full power that the position that he held should entail. So you see clearly that we didn't have at that juncture liberty to do anything that we wanted anymore. Since we didn't have liberty to do anything that we wanted, that is also considered enslavement. So therefore, both statements of Rashi are true. Rashi says that right after Yaakov passed away, it was the first stage of enslavement, where we actually did things because we were forced to do, but we weren't physically enslaved. And after Levi died, that's really when the enslavement really started. That's when we were afflicted, and then we were literally enslaved. The Sifsei Chachamim asks a very important question. He asks, if it's true what Rashi says, that the reason that Parshas Satuma, the reason that there is no space between it, is because as soon as Yaakov died, we became enslaved, then the question is, why does the Torah give me this hint in the beginning of the Parsha, where Yaakov doesn't actually die at the beginning? Why doesn't the Torah give me this right before chapter 49, where Yaakov is giving the blessings to his children, right after where he dies? That's where you should have a closed-off portion, because that's really where Yaakov dies. Here, he isn't dead yet. He's going to die soon, but he is not dead yet. He's still alive. He's going to be alive up to chapter 49. Then right beginning of chapter 49, where there's a space between 48 and 49, that's where you should have the Parsha closed off. And automatically you will know that the Parsha there is closed off because the eyes of the Jews were closed off from the enslavement. But right here, Yaakov Avinu doesn't die yet. Why do you have to have the sign of the Jews being enslaved or partially enslaved here, where it doesn't happen for a while? Have it where it actually happens. The Sifsei Chachamim answers that had we put the closed off part in that Parsha, then you would know that this was going to be a separate Parsha. The beginning of a Parsha, like the beginning of Vayechi, since traditionally there is a separation there, so that's why the question is, how come it's closed off? But anywhere in the middle of other Parshas, we don't have a tradition when do we close off, when we don't close off. Therefore, you would never notice that there was a main reason, that there was a point that Hashem wanted to teach us something by closing off. But by Hashem closing off the beginning of the Parsha, where always you have it open, then you are going to ask a question, how come it closed off? And you're going to learn an important lesson, that don't think the enslavement really started only after the brothers died. The enslavement actually started a little bit before the Shibut, the harshness started before, right after Yaakov died. My Rosh Yeshiva, Devi Nerov, in his Sefer Ezer Miyuda, brings this question of the Sifsei Chachamim in the name of the Nezer HaKodesh, and he asks, why is the message that the heart of the Jewish people were closed off written in the beginning of the Parsha? If that is the message just because Yaakov Avinu died, then the message should have been written at the end of the Parsha, where Yaakov Avinu actually dies. That's where the message should be, that the hearts of the Jewish people are closed off, and that's where it should be closed, where there it's actually open and it's not closed. And also, it seems an odd thing to put the idea that the hearts of the Jewish people were closed off, or they got into despair because of the death of Yaakov, where the beginning of the Parsha actually says, Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim 17 shana, that Yaakov lived in Egypt 17 years. And the other question is, why the message that the Jewish people got into despair come in by the idea of the Parsha being closed off? There are other ways to give a message like that. What's so special about the idea of closing off the Parsha? Why that specifically shows you that the Jewish people are going to despair? The Vinerov brings the Medrash Rabbe, Parshat Tzadik Vav Aleph, where the Medrash gives another reason why this Parsha is closed off. The Medrash says, you know why this Parsha is closed off? Because Yaakov was closed off for these 17 years from all troubles in the world. The Matnas Kun explains that it was forgotten from him all the tzoras that he had in Mitzrayim. And I want to add another proof to this idea that Yaakov Avinu did not have tzoras, that the Medrash in Tanat Veliyahu brings down that Vayechi Yaakov, Shvayas Rishona, that Yaakov lived the 17 years. Tanat Veliyahu says that he lived in these 17 years a life without pain, more than tzaddikim arzoiche in olam haba. In other words, Yaakov, the 70 years that was in Egypt, he was able to elevate himself to a level or live such a happy life as would be from the world to come. And that's why it's written stuma according to the Medrash, because Yaakov was closed off from all his trouble. The Ksav Sofer asks a question that we have a tradition that every time the parsha is stuma, the parsha is closed off, that shows that we are going to have tzoras, that we are going to have trouble. Then he asks, how can the Medrash Rabbah say that this parsha is stuma, that this parsha really shows the message of trouble, but it's showing that Yaakov Avinu did not have trouble, when we know as a tradition every time that the parsha is closed off, it actually shows trouble. And here the Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu removed from himself all troubles of the world. That's not what it's meant by trouble. Therefore, he answers that both answers really are one and the same. Meaning that on Bereshis chapter 15, Pasuk number 13, on the covenant between the parts, Bris ben Absarim, there Hashem says that strangers will be your children in a land that's not theirs. Vavodim v'inu oisam abba meya shona. They will enslave them and afflict them for 400 years. Since the Pasuk says that strangers will be your son, Rashi there at the place says that the decree that we are going to be slaves or afflicted for 400 years actually started from the birth of Yitzchak. That the 400 years that we are supposed to be afflicted started from the birth of Yitzchak, and after 400 years since Yitzchak was born, we were removed from Egypt. And the truth is that the brothers, the Shvatim, also thought that it starts from the birth of Yitzchak. And since it starts from the birth of Yitzchak, they figured we have already 190 years passed, because we were only in Egypt for 210 years. So the brothers came down to Egypt. They thought that at least almost half of what we're supposed to be enslaved, it's already done. Now we only have 210 years of the cheshbon, of the counting, to finish it up. But all of a sudden they see that the Jewish people go to Goshen and they actually take hold of it and they multiply. And also they see that Yaakov is living these 17 years a life of bliss, that Yaakov is living the best 17 years of his life. He's getting Ein Olam Haba. The Shvatim see that, they start getting worried. Wait a minute, Yaakov is living such a life of bliss when it's written Vayinu that they're going to afflict us and they're going to enslave us for 400 years. Obviously, this life that Yaakov is having now cannot be part of the 400 years that was predicted to us. So must be that we miscounted, that the 400 years didn't start from Yitzchak, are only going to start after the death of Yaakov, because Yaakov is having such a good time that cannot be part of Avodim v'inu oisoi, of being enslaved, being afflicted. It must be that the 400 years are only going to start after Yaakov dies. So because of them seeing Yaakov living it up, their hearts were closed off, and they started worrying for the Shibut, that even while Yaakov is living it up, Yaakov is having the life Me'ein Olam Haba, still the brothers, the Shvatim, are worried what's going to be after Yaakov Avinu dies. The cause for them to worry what's going to happen after Yaakov Avinu dies only came because Yaakov Avinu is having a life of pleasure. Because Yaakov now is having a life of pleasure, therefore they are worried what's going to happen after Yaakov Avinu dies. Therefore, it is very good that since Yaakov Avinu's trouble are gone, since Nistamu Mimenu Kol HaTzoros, since all the Tzoros are gone from Yaakov, therefore the hearts of the Jewish people were closed off, that they started worrying now for the Golos. They worry, well, now we're going to have to endure another 400 years. We thought 190 years are gone from the Cheshbon, but now we have to worry another 400 years. So therefore, the brothers' eyes and hearts closed off. So comes out the idea of Tzoros, the idea of trouble, and the idea of Yaakov's trouble ending is the same, that the Jewish people got into trouble because they saw Yaakov's troubles are ending, and because of that they thought the 400 years are going to start after the death of Yaakov, so therefore their hearts became closed off. And according to this, it's very good why specifically the message of the enslavement comes on the words Vayechi Yaakov, that Yaakov lived, because the living of Yaakov was the cause for them to worry about the impending enslavement, what's going to happen afterwards. And that's why it's here and not where he dies. That's the words of the Ksav Sofer. According to what we just mentioned from the Ksav Sofer, that the brothers worried that now that Yaakov Avinu is having a life of pleasure, then obviously the 400 years could not have started from the birth of Yitzchak. The 400 years only started after we came down to Egypt. Then we have a technical questions. We know that we were in Egypt only for 210 years, and yet the prophecy clearly said that we are going to be afflicted for 400 years. There is actually a lot of answers on this question. I'll first quote the two simple answers and then give the third answer. The simple answers are, one, that the harshness of affliction completed to 400 years. In other words, we were afflicted in 210 years, the amount that normal people are afflicted in 400 years, that the Egyptians were so harsh in their punishments, in their decrees, that it caused us pain of 400 years in 210, that the pains were so heavy and so harsh and so unnatural, that the amount of pain that normal slaves get in 400 years, we were able to get those pains in concentration in 210 years. The second interpretation is that the normal population that would be enslaved in 400 years were enslaved in 210. In other words, by Hashem making a miracle and having us multiply unnaturally, Hashem caused a larger population to be enslaved. So the labor that's supposed to be done in 400 years was actually done in 210 years because the population was increased miraculously. So that labor was done in a shorter time. And the third interpretation, which is brought down by Lav Medrashim, is that the 400 years are only going to be finished when Moshiach will come. Meaning that originally Hashem wanted us to be in Egypt for 400 years. But since we reached such a low level, we got such a level of impurity, that had we stayed one extra moment in Egypt, we would have been doomed. Hashem had no choice. Hashem had to remove us before the time, after 210 years. But Hashem, in His kindness, spread out the extra 190 years throughout the generation. And like that, every generation we get certain troubles. Those troubles come from the 400 years that was promised to Avraham Avinu. Because had the 400 years been completed and Hashem redeemed us, that redemption would have been complete. We would have had full redemption. But since we had to go before the 400 years were complete, then the redemption cannot be a complete redemption. And because of that, we are required to go again in exile. We are required to have troubles throughout generations, because since we did not complete that time, we are required to complete it, finish it. And Hashem throws troubles our way throughout generations in order to complete the 190 years that we did not finish when we were in Egypt. In other words, the reason that we are in Golos today, the reason we are in the diaspora today, is because we never completed the 400 years in Egypt. Had we completed the 400 years in Egypt, then we would have never had another exile, another enslavement. But since we were not able to complete because of our level, because of our spiritual level was so low. Therefore, Hashem had no choice. Hashem took that remainder of the sentence of 190 years that we were supposed to be enslaved, and He spreads it out throughout generation. Each generation, He gives a little bit of that enslavement, a little bit of that trouble. According to this interpretation, that we are now in Golas, we are now in the diaspora, because we never completed the 400 years that was in Egypt, comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu could not come into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Megale Amukas Oifen Chav brings down that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, then he would have built the Beis HaMikdash. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis HaMikdash, then the Beis HaMikdash could not be destroyed, because the Gemara in Soita Daf Tes on Medalev says, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech built, Lo Yishaltu Oiveyem B'masa Yodeyem, their enemies could not rule over them, could not destroy them. As a matter of fact, the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu did was not destroyed, was only retired. It comes out, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Israel, he would have built the Beis HaMikdash, and once he built the Beis HaMikdash, then we would never gone out to exile, because the Beis HaMikdash would have never been destroyed, and if the Beis HaMikdash is not destroyed, then we could have atonement for our actions. But if we were required to have an exile, then obviously Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. In other words, if the exile still goes on, then obviously the only way the exile could have gone on is if Moshe Rabbeinu did not go into Eretz Yisrael. And according to this, the Vinerov explains, now I understand very well why specifically did the Torah decide to give me this hint that our hopes were dashed as soon as we saw Yaakov Avinu enjoying himself with a Parsha Satuma by closing off our Parsha. So he explains that from the fact that Yaakov Avinu is having a pleasant time, the fact that he's enjoying Me'ein Olam Haba, from that the brothers realized that the 400 years cannot start from the birth of Yitzchak, because if it would have started from the birth of Yitzchak, Yaakov Avinu cannot have such a good time. So the brothers automatically realized that this has to start from the time we came down to Egypt. So when we came down to Egypt until we were redeemed was only 210 years. And the brothers knew that. The brothers knew that we are not going to be able to withstand the tumah, the impurities of spirituality that Egypt has, and that Hashem is going to be forced to redeem us before its time. And they also realized that if Hashem is going to redeem us before its time, then obviously the exile is going to have to happen throughout generations, that we are going to have exile even after our redemption from Egypt in order to complete the 400 years. In order for us to have an exile, then the Beis HaMikdash has to be destroyed. Because if the Beis HaMikdash is not destroyed, we cannot have exile. In order for the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed, Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. Because the Megala Mukas says clearly that if Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Yisrael, the first thing he would have done is to build the Beis HaMikdash. And once Moshe Rabbeinu builds the Beis HaMikdash, then nobody is able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously, if we have to have a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, then Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. And in order for Moshe Rabbeinu not to go into Eretz Yisrael, he has to die at Chutz Laaretz, outside Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, says the Vinerov, if you take a look on Dvarim, chapter 31, Pasuk number 2, where Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die, there it says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jewish people, "Bemei of Esrim Shana Anoichi Hayom, I'm today completing 120 years. Lo yuchal oid latzeis velovoy, I can't go out and in. In other words, I'm not allowed to go out and in." Rashi explains, what does it mean, I can't go out and in? Obviously, you're going in and you're going out of different places. Obviously, it must not mean that go out physically, go out and in. Rashi says, latzeis velovoy bedivrei Torah, I can't go in and out arguing about Torah. Melamed, it teaches you, shenistemu mimenu mesoyrois, that Hashem closed off from Moshe Rabbeinu his wellspring of transmission and his wellspring of wisdom. In other words, that Hashem made sure that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot transmit any more Torah to the Jewish people. And if Moshe Rabbeinu could not transmit the Torah to the Jewish people, then Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael and be their leader. So you see clearly that in order for Moshe Rabbeinu not to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem was required to close off from him his wells of wisdom. So the Vinerov explains, if that is true, then I understand exactly why the hint was given in our parsha specifically by closing off the space that was supposed to be open. Meaning that since I closed off this parsha, and by me closing off this parsha, I show that the brothers, the Shvatim, were afraid, got worried that now that Yaakov is having a good time, now the exiles is going to start. If the exile starts now, that means that we are not going to complete the 400 years in Egypt. We are only going to be 210 years. If we are going to be there 210 years, then Moshe Rabbeinu has to die in the desert. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Yisrael, he builds the Beis HaMikdash. If he builds the Beis HaMikdash, it can be destroyed. It can be another exile. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to die in the desert. In order to die in the desert, Hashem has to close off his gates of wisdom. So it comes out that by closing off this parsha, we're showing that is going to be another thing that is going to be closed off, that Hashem is going to have to close off the gates of wisdom of Moshe Rabbeinu in order for him to die outside of Eretz Yisrael. Because of that, this parsha is tuma, this parsha is closed off to hint to that eventually this closing is going to cause another closing, which is when Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem is going to have to remove from him the gates of wisdom. And Hashem Yisbarach should help that all the troubles and all the pain that we have throughout generations and the pain that goes on now in Eretz Yisrael and here in the diaspora should make it that the 400 years would finally be complete, even according to those Midrashim. And all the blessings that are going on in this week's Parsha should be accomplished right away. And we should merit to have a Geula Shleima, a complete redemption. Mashiach will come, Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt, Bimheiro Beyomeinu, Amen.